This week, I had this song, The Goodness of God, running through my mind over and over all week long. I think it's one of them that we sang last week, but there's a phrase in it, "All my life you have been faithful." And man, I thought about that, and I thought about how faithful God is to us, how faithful He has been to me. And then I got to thinking, you know, God is faithful. That's just all there is to it. God is faithful. God can never be unfaithful, even though we are unfaithful. But as I thought about that phrase in that song, I thought about the fact that as God is so faithful, and I think about His faithfulness, it makes me stop and think about mine. Am I faithful to Him? So many times we go to God when we want something, but are we faithful when we don't get what we want? Are we faithful when life is going good in other directions? Are we faithful? And so as I'm running that thought through my mind this week and praying over the passage, I had two passages and it come to the point where one of them come for Sunday morning and one for Sunday night. So if you want the Sunday night one, you'll have to come back tonight. Hope it doesn't leak into this. I don't think it will, but hey, I never know. But anyway, as I begin to think about being faithful, the title for this verse that we're going to, or this passage that we're going to look at today, it's in Luke chapter 12. I'm going to start in verse 35. And as we look at this, we're going to talk about the title in my Bible says the faithful servant and the evil servant. And as we start, I want us to understand that sometimes we take the idea of when it mentions servant in the Bible, that is automatically a person that is a believer. And that's not always the case. And in this case, I believe it's everyone that's under the master of this house, or everyone that's under the Lord of this house is what it's referring to. And so it's not necessarily talking about Christians, but it will talk about some Christians and some non-Christians. But as we look at this, I want us to read it, and then we're going to go back into it, and our prayer is that God will teach us where we need to be, that we might be faithful. If you'd read along with me, starting in verse 35, it says, "Let your waist be girded, and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open the door to him immediately. Blessed are those servants who the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect." Then Peter said to him, "Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people?" And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of the food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying in his coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving stripes shall be beaten a few. For everyone to whom much is given, much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." Let's pray. Father God, as we read your word, Lord, there is so much. Speak to us. Open our hearts as individuals, Lord. There are so many people here that that how can you speak to everyone, but Lord, you are God, and you can. And so I pray that you speak to each of us where we're at. Lord, help us to see what it is you have for us, that we would understand the love behind this passage. Lord, that you are God, and you are Lord and Master. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage is kind of broken down into three. It's all things talking about the fact that the Master is coming back, that God is coming back, that Jesus is coming back. And when it was written to the children of Israel, but it's also written to us today, as Jesus says, you know, when Peter asks, is it for all people? It's written to the children of Israel talking about the second coming when Jesus comes back and sets up his throne. But it's also talking to us as a church that the rapture is going to take place. And so he's telling us to be ready. He's telling us in these things that if the master of the house had known what time his house was going to be broken into, if he'd have been ready, he could have stopped that. But I want us to look at this morning, and I come up with this title because it's what really God give me was, are you girded and lit? So I want you to ask yourself, because what we're talking about here is it's basically the way that a wedding took place back then. And I know we've talked about this before. The bridegroom would go and he would celebrate. And then when he would come back to his house, then those attendants would be there and they would have lamps lit and they would be waiting for him. And they would wait all night if that was what they had to do. But they would be waiting on him to come back. And he would come in and he would have a meal with them. And so that's kind of what this is talking about, is these people that are waiting for the bridegroom's return. And that's us. That's where we're at, because Jesus Christ is coming back to take his children home. And then he's going to come back and he's going to set up his kingdom on earth. But what I want us to look at is this girded and lit. Girded and lit. Because that's what we have to do. If I'm faithful, I'm going to be girded and lit. Now, what girded actually meant is, and you can find it several times in the Bible, they wore long robes or long gowns, whatever you want to call them, that generally hung down between their knee and their ankle. And when they were getting ready to work or run or do something, they would take that part of the garment and they would tuck it up and then they would tuck it in their leather belt. And that was what they meant by being girded. So these servants, as they're waiting for the master, he's saying, be girded. So in other words, tuck your gown in your belt and be ready to go to work. Be ready, because the master's coming back. And so as I think about that, and I look at us today, are we ready? Are we girded, truly girded and ready? Now, you know, a lot and there's another passage where it talks about the 10 that had lamps and some ran out of them, some didn't. And I think, you know, how many times do we just relax? Because he's coming, but he's coming later. Jesus is coming back. I agree, Pastor. Jesus is coming back, but not for a while. If he told them to be girded, and that probably wasn't the most comfortable way of wearing it. If it was, they would have probably wore it that way all the time. But he says, be girded. So you need to be ready for the master's return. And when I ask you that, there's two ways to be ready. One is for you to have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I know there are some here today, I'm sure, in a congregation this size, that there are people that have never asked Jesus Christ into their heart. We started off singing that song, I'll Fly Away. I want us all to be ready to do that. The Bible tells us that one day Christ is going to crack open that eastern sky and he's going to come back and he's going to call his children home and we're going to go to meet him in the air. Are you ready? Well, no, I got yard work to do. I got to wash my car. I've got to do this. No, you have to be ready. That has to be priority number one. And the only way we can be ready is to have Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And so, some of you are sitting out there saying, well, I've already accepted Christ, so I must be ready. Ask yourself, are you really ready? Are you 100% ready that by the time I say amen at the end of this service, that if Jesus came back, you'd be ready? Well, no, I've got family members that don't know Jesus. I've got people that I'm going to be with tomorrow, God. I've got people that I'm going to be with tomorrow night, God, that don't know You. I'm not ready. I was with them last week and I didn't say a thing about Jesus. God, I'm not ready. There are people out there I need to tell about Jesus. And if you've accepted Christ, there are people out there that you need to tell about Jesus. Are you ready? Well, you know, I've told some people, so I guess I'm ready. Are you ready? And not only did they have to be girded and ready, but they had to be active. They couldn't be asleep on the couch. They couldn't be in the recliner. They couldn't be watching TV. And yeah, you know I'm joking, but the things that we just do to pass our time a day. We've got these things. We're not ready because I haven't told these people about Jesus. But then in my spare time, I've got stuff I'm going to do on my own. And I hate mowing the yard, but I've got to do it. That's part of it. That's part of life. And that's okay. But is mowing that yard more important than those people that need Jesus? Am I ready and am I active? Man, they were girded and they're walking around with their lamp. The little lamp that they had was lit so that they could see. So that people could see in the house, and so that the master, as he's coming down the path or the road or whatever, he could see the lamp in his house. He would know people were ready for him to be there. He would know that they were expecting him to come. They wouldn't just be sitting back and have their lamp just sitting there, letting the lamp do the job. So many times we're not active. I know, well, you know, people see me and they know, hey, you're the pastor of the First Southern Baptist Church. You know, that means nothing. That means nothing if I'm not telling people about Jesus. If I'm not active about going out and telling people what Jesus means to me and that He loves them and that they need to accept Him, then my lamp is setting up here on Sunday morning. All week long, my lamp sets up here. If that's all I do. If the only time you pick up your Bible, if the only time I pick up my Bible and get into Bible study is on Sunday morning, think about that for just a minute. We expect somebody's going to graduate, and I know we got a few here that are going to graduate in a week or two. In the school, I think, is it, and correct me, I'm sure you can, I'm sure you do, but I think the number of school days, isn't it like 175 a year? 174. I knew somebody could correct me. But we're going to go with 175 because that's where my head is at right now. And I can't do math very well in my head. But I think if you figure 13 years, kindergarten through high school, you're talking 13 years at somewhere around 7 hours a day. You're talking 2,000. And now my daughter's going to correct me on this one. 2,050 some hours that we expect them to know and learn, take tests and do homework and apply all this information. We expect them to know that much to graduate. Think about if all you learn from God is on Sunday morning, 1 hour a week. How long is it going to take you to graduate? Over 40 years. Kind of sad, isn't it? Because all we do, if you're expecting me to teach you everything, then you're sadly mistaken. This Bible is on your shelf, on your desk, on your phone, on your iPad, on your computer for you to access, for you to learn, for you to study, for you to be actively reading and sharing it. Don't get it 1 hour a week. That's not enough. Because if I'm just getting 1 hour a week, I'm getting 52 hours a year. How much of God's Word are you taking in a year's time? We need to be active. They were supposed to be actively doing what the servant was left to do. They were left to wait on the master, to have their lamp lit, to be walking around and waiting on him to be there so that when he came, they could open the door immediately. Not when you ring the doorbell, oh, I'll get it. I got to put the dog up first. I got to do this and then I'll... No, it was to open the door immediately is what the Scripture says. The only way you can do that is to be ready, to be actively doing your job. I may be ready for him to come back. I'm tired of him not being here, that type of an attitude of ready. But to be actively doing what my job is making sure everybody else is ready. By taking in His Word to where it becomes alive in my life, to where it changes me to being actively serving Him. Well, that didn't go over very good. Didn't expect it to. It wasn't my idea. But we're to be ready and we're to be active. And then they were to have their lamps lit. They were to be watching. Man, if all it meant was really to just be ready to open the door, I could just stand there by the door without my lamp on, and as soon as he knocks, jerk that door and open it up. But man, I was supposed to have my lamp lit so that everybody around would know what I'm doing. Those other people that were doing the same thing, man, if I sat down in my chair, I set my lamp up here, what do you think they're going to end up doing? They're going to be doing the same thing. Or, man, I'm going to take a break. It's Steve's turn. I'm going to go sit down. No, it's not somebody else's turn. We are supposed to have our lamps lit. Read that scripture again. That first verse. Let your waist be girded. Let your lamps be burning. Not the person next to you. Oh, well, my wife is really strong and she's teaching our kids. Well, that's your wife's lamp. It's your lamp. It's got to be lit so that everybody else in the house will know that you are waiting for Him. You are anticipating Him coming. And today, we don't anticipate Jesus coming. I bet if you thought, be honest with yourself, if you could count back through the week, how many times did you anticipate Jesus Christ breaking through those clouds? Probably less than on one hand. We don't anticipate Jesus Christ coming back. And so therefore, why is anybody else that doesn't know Him, why are they going to expect Him to come back? If the pastor is not anticipating it every single day, all the time, every time you talk to him, he's talking about Christ coming back. If he's not that way, well, then if the pastor doesn't think he's coming back today, then I don't have to worry about it because he's... Don't go by what the pastor does. You're not going to be judged by what I do. I'm going to fail you. I'm going to make mistakes. Do what you're supposed to do. Be ready, be active, and be lit. Wait for Him. You're waiting for Him. You're anticipating for Him. I can remember quite a while back, we were coming down M Highway. And if you've ever drove M Highway after dark, you know what I'm talking about. There are deer hiding behind every tree waiting to jump out in front of you. And when you drive down that road, I literally drive in the middle and my knuckles are white because I know what's about to happen. One night we were coming back. We used to work at the racetrack and we come back about 1 o'clock in the morning and I'm driving down the middle of the road. Man, I just know there's a deer getting ready to jump out. He's just waiting for me to get there. About that time, these red lights flip on behind me. And I was like, oh, great. He comes up beside the car and he said, sir, he said, you seem to be driving in the middle of the road. I said, yes, I was. I said, I'm anticipating a deer jumping out. And if I'm right over at this shoulder, I don't have enough reaction time. And if I'm over on this shoulder and he comes this way, I have nowhere to go. And I told him, I said, I'm anticipating a deer jump out at any time. And he said, okay, well, I was just checking because you were driving in the middle of the road. I said, I understand that. But I was literally white-knuckled anticipating in the middle of the road, expecting at any time for that deer to jump out in front of me. So much so that that police officer, at 1 a.m, that probably could have been sleeping, was able to notice something's different about this driver. And I say that because I want to know if people see a difference in me by my anticipation. The fact that I anticipated a deer changed my driving habits. So much so that that police officer saw it. Do I anticipate Jesus so much so that it changes my life habits to where people see a difference? And they say, hey, why are you living different? Why are you driving in the middle of the road per se? Well, let me tell you. We need to anticipate the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back. We know it's true. You can ask every single Christian, every Christian that has faith in Jesus Christ, that knows that He died on the cross for their sins. They know that He rose again 3 days later and He ascended and said, and the angel said He's coming back the same way. And Thessalonians says that, you know, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and after that we who are caught up in the air will meet to the Lord together and we'll be with Him always. Any Christian that believes that, how can we ever just go ahead and drive on the same shoulder of the road? Man, we've got to be ready. We've got to be active. And we've got to be watching. We've got to be anticipating. Not just for those people to see us, but because the Master said, I want you girded, I want you lit, so that when I come back, you can let me in immediately. You will be doing your job. You will be lit. You will be girded. You'll be ready. You'll be anticipating me. Because that's our God. That's our Savior that's going to burst through those clouds. And He's going to come back and He's going to take us. Are you ready? Are you actively trying to be more of what He wants you to be? Are you anticipating that? And I'm sure these servants were. But you know, there's one more thing. We don't want to miss this. Because He tells them, says He may come back in the second watch. He may come back in the third watch. You don't know what hour He's coming back. But what He's telling them is, be prepared, anticipate, but don't give up. Well, I waited up till 3 a.m. and He wasn't here. So I went on to bed. I put my lamp out to save oil for tomorrow night. No, He says to stay and be ready through the night. You don't know. I don't know. But so many times people want to say, you know, I've been hearing all my life that Jesus Christ is coming back. Man, I'm 59 years old and He's still not here. He's probably not going to come during my lifetime. I can relax. I can just live the way I think I'm supposed to. I don't have to anticipate. I don't have to be girded. I can be active. He's going to come back in somebody else's lifetime. Don't bet on it. What we have to understand is that He is saying, you cannot give up. Don't stop waiting for me. Don't stop anticipating. Don't stop being active. Don't let your guard down. Still be girded. Well, Pastor, that's asking a lot. Well, I think since he died on the cross, that probably should be enough. Really, it's not enough for us just to be girded, active, ready, and to not give up with everything he's done for us. He tells what the servants are supposed to be. And then he says that faithful and wise steward. A steward was somebody who had been put in charge of something. Well, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you became a steward of everything that he's given you. I don't care if it's a vehicle, I don't care if it's a home, I don't care if it's food, money, a talent, whatever it is, he has given you something, he has blessed you with something, and because of that, you are a steward of that. A steward is one that is supposed to take what they're given and use it to the best of God's ability. And he says the steward that is wise and faithful will be ready and they will be blessed and rewarded. It tells us that. But it says there's that servant. And again, remember, this is not necessarily talking about a Christian. It's that person that calls himself a servant. Man, I go to church all the time. I think that's the guy we're talking about here in verse 45. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, begins to beat the male and female servants and eat and drink and be drunk, that sounds to me like life became all about himself. I'll do what I want. I don't think he's coming back. I will just do whatever I want. I will go out and do this. I'll treat people how I want to. I'll party. I'll have fun. I'll do everything my way. Because I don't think he's coming back. So he does not acknowledge the master or the Lord as who he says he is, as what he says he's going to do. Says what's going to happen to that person. It's terrible. They're going to be cut in two. They're going to deal with judgment, strong judgment. And his portion will be of unbelievers. So just because he called himself a servant doesn't mean he was a believer. And then it goes and it talks about two other types. And this is, it's kind of relating to us in this, where he says, the other servant knew his master's will, and for an easier, shorter way of saying it, and chose not to do it. It says he prepared himself to do according to his will, did not prepare himself to do according to his will. He just, you know, I know what God tells me to do, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to gird myself. He's not coming yet. I really don't know that everything he says in the Bible is true. So it says what's happened. This person is going to be judged harshly. And then it says this next person, it says, but the one who did not know, man, this guy, he should get off because he doesn't know any better. It's not what it says. It says he didn't know God's will, but he still did something that deserved punishment. He just rejected Jesus. He rejected the Master. He didn't do all the things that the Master told him to do. And there are people out there today that, well, I've never stood up and rejected Jesus, denied he's the Son of God. Well, if you haven't accepted him, then you've rejected him. That's where you're at. And he says, I'm going to close with this last statement. It's in the last part of verse 48. It says, for everyone to whom much is given, for him much will be required. That's a scary statement. Because if you've been given the information that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, is willing to forgive you, is willing to give you salvation, is willing to come back and take you to be with Him forever, and you do nothing with that information, then you will die and go to hell. But if you take the flip side of that, and as a Christian, you've been told you should be girded, you should be lit, ready, active, anticipating, never giving up, that's what you've been told, then that's what you'll be required. For more that you know about God, the more you'll be required to serve Him. Well then, Pastor, wouldn't I be better off to just not learn very much? Then it won't be required of me. You go back to the first part of that verse and it says, basically, ignorance is no excuse. Just because you don't know is not an excuse. Romans tells us that man is without excuse because God has revealed Himself in everything. And so I want you to understand that you have been given much. I don't know where you're at spiritually. I don't know if you've accepted Him. I don't know if you've followed Him for 80 years. I don't know. But whatever you've been given by Him, you will be required to serve Him or to deal with the punishment for lack of service. Well, man, that's pretty harsh. Well, if you don't like it, my Bible, it's page 1540. Just rip it out. Doesn't work that way, does it? We need to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do so that they will see us driving down the middle of the road because it means something to me. I'm anticipating Him. He's coming. I know He's coming. He's coming back for me, and it may be today. But I pray we're ready. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank You so much for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, for the fact that You are coming back for us. Lord, I pray that we would be girded and lit. Lord, I pray that we would be everything You want us to be. But Father, right now, I want to lift up those that don't know You. Lord, maybe they've just never thought they needed it. Maybe they've just come to a point in their life that it's just not been what they thought it should be. Father, I pray right now that Your Spirit would draw them to You. That You would draw each of us to You. Christian, non-Christian, Lord, we all need to be drawn to You. I pray that right now. I pray that. God, move in this place, in each of us, to glorify Your name, to bring You honor, to bring You praise. Lord, draw the lost to You, because if You don't draw them, Lord, nothing that anybody can say or do will ever matter. So we pray for that. But Lord, open our eyes and our hearts to be what You desire, to hear what You desire, and to react the way You want us to. In Your name we pray. Amen.